I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
No, we're not riding that whiskey train today. We're stoked on caffeine and good intentions here at Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, no mass transit for us.
Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, wingman, and coffee pourer extraordinaire.
The other guy.
Joe D. On cowbell, by the way, today. He's bringing up the bottom end with
needs
us.
Needs more cowbell.
Oh, we're going to be featuring that today, Joe. That's what we're going to be doing. And if you can get in on this fun with us if you like. We don't hoard it. We share it with the masses.
Yes.
Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Find us on the web at motormouthradio.com. And you can catch us on Twitter, which is Motormouth Radio, or Joe's favorite Instagram, which is
Real_ Motormouth Radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're there for you. We do take care of your stuff offline as well as online, which I think we're going to be doing today. We're doing a little...
Yes, we have a special guest, diagnosee, possibly.
Right. Well, along with driver's seat diagnostics, you'll be doing parking lot diagnostics today, I think.
Yes, yes. As opposed to my usual parking lot begging.
Well, there's that, too. So, it's going to be a...
Bare back probe.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to do. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we'll handle it with our usual...
aplomb.
Flair and fortitude.
Yeah, we'll kind of BS all the way through it, but that's okay, though.
Yeah. So, that being the case...
Other than that, we're just talking to ourselves, right?
Which is what we typically do on a regular week.
Pretty much we talk to ourselves. Anybody who's actually seen me work knows all about me talking to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or gotten an email from you. I want to give a shout out to our good buddy Bobby from the Olds Club. I spoke with him yesterday. He had gifted me with a box full of carburetors.
Box O carbs.
Yeah, a bunch of Q-Jets.
And not donuts. I was so disappointed.
I know, right? So, I know he's cleaning his garage today. We were talking about how your storage space tends to creep up on you, and it gets to the point where your storage space is now, we used to be able to work and store things in one space. Now it's just, oh my God, I can't get in that garage. I can't move around a car. Is there a car in there? Yeah, I think there is. It's that big thing in the middle. So he's doing some cleanup today, which we all need to do on occasion.
Yes, because otherwise it just gets to the point where you can't find nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you deal with that mostly. You're lucky. You don't have to deal with that at home. You deal with it at the UD.
Yes, I mean, pretty much God only knows what you're going to trip over. Like that carburetor you and I were discussing, somebody literally tripped over that,
that
last
right.
week.
The one you brought last week. Now, that was a Q-Jet from a 305 Chevy.
Right, right. And it was just laying around. I think we might have used it for a doorstop once or twice.
And that's exactly what that carburetor is best used for, is
right.
for a doorstop.
Yeah, well, hey, come on. 305s need love, too. I mean, that was like the staple motor back in, like, say, from about... Well, primarily in the 80s.
Right.
I mean, like everything, that was like the optional motor. I mean, they had 305 high output.
79.
Yeah, they started with it around there. And then...
that's what vintage that one is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and 305s, for some reason, like they canned the 307. And the 305 actually has a longer stroke, so it was a little torque gear. But that's about all you can say for the thing, you know?
Right, right.
But let's face it, that carburetor, that flows the CFM, so it's okay.
It's around 650.
In the home that it's going to go, it'll probably be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those 305s, I mean, that's the engine you have in your Camaro.
Yep.
And the HO version, that was, I guess it was a little bit of a head and cam difference. Is that what it was?
Yeah, head cam exhaust. And as Jim points out, it's the L69 motor, which was Monte SS, and it was an option on the Z28s and certain Trans Ams as well. It was like,
sure,
people didn't want the fuel injection, but they couldn't have a 350 yet, so they came out with the 305 HO.
And that was the funny thing with that carburetor. When I took it apart and looked at it, it's really a history lesson. It's a hybrid because it looks like a normal quadrajet, but inside it has... It has
places for all the doodads that'll eventually end up.
The things that were coming in a year or two, I guess they were tooling up with their housings.
They were practicing.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what happens in manufacturing. They don't always do a hard change because the outside of it stayed the same. They were able to retool the existing body and then add in.
So that way they were ready. They already had the tooling and whatnot in place. A lot of times that happens in manufacturing, yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes it's cost... it's cost productive that way. You don't have to. Why reinvent the wheel when you can just change the spokes around a little bit, right?
I like that. Yeah, some spokes, lug nuts, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, but that's true. Yeah. You're up to your eyeballs and carburetors now.
Well, yeah, now that, like I said, Bob had dropped off this box to me at the shop, and I have, now they're on my workbench in my garage because I wanted to run the numbers through and check them up. Now I have to put them somewhere.
Right.
And my carburetor space is getting limited. My storage space is getting kind of, I'm kind of, let's face it, I'm busting at the seams all over.
yeah, that's what happens. But pretty soon, one of these days, we're just going to have to buy that giant warehouse like out in Suffolk.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, about the size of like a BJ's or a Costco or something, and just like have different departments for all our used stuff.
You've said that more than once, Joe.
Yes, and then, we'll have cars. Definitely cars, but lots and lots of parts.
Right.
And then we're going to have to just figure out a way to somehow catalog them.
Well, that's the thing, too. You know, my buddy, our good friend Kilowatt Kevin, what he does, he's got stuff in his loft, like we all have, boxes and whatnot, but he went the extra step, and in what I used to, I did the analog version of his, on the outside of the box, I taped a piece of paper, and I wrote kind of like a quick inventory of what was in that box.
Okay.
And then this way, at a glance, I could see it. Well, I used to be able to see it.
Mm.
He went the next step and did it in a database. Now, he can pull it up on his computer and know, box 13.
Fancy.
Because he actually gifted Mike at the shop with that HEI distributor I'll be putting in the GTO.
Oh, okay.
And he says, I know I got one or two or three of them somewhere. Let me look. And he went into his database and said, box 13 has one, maybe box 12 has one. And he was able to, once he got up there and was able to get to that box, he was able to find the part. And
well,
it worked.
We have a similar system at the UD.
Oh, yeah? Explain that to me.
It's called Ask Johnny.
Oh, boy.
And...
Bah!
It usually starts with that. And then...
It kind of ends with that, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But basically what happens in about... There's some rumbling, there's some clanking, there's some moving around. You hear stuff being pushed across the floor, and all of a sudden, you mean this?
Uh huh.
And then all of a sudden, bang, zoom. You never know what you're going to find.
Wow.
Look, it happened with the quadrant, even though that was a trip over. But
right.
Hey, are we flashing?
We may be.
Okay.
If we are, we'll
button up your overcoat.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. We'll go to the fun. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Professor Ray, Joey D. How are you guys?
It's the big man! What's up, Howie?
Hey.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Well, Professor Ray, you probably enjoy this. I'm going to Gettysburg for the Pontiac Grand National in July.
And 7 years ago.
And I'm doing something different. I'm going also camping at Gettysburg Campgrounds.
Do you have to bring your own musket?
Muscatel. Probably that and, plus.
All right.
Taking the wife there, or we're taking...
Oh, so you're going to reenact the battle scenes.
Are you making jokes about me, sir?
No, not about you. No, that's cool. Well, that's pretty good. But that's, you know, I always admired guys like you, Howie, who now already know what they're doing in July. I don't know what I'm doing next week. I know what I'm doing after the show. After that, I don't know what I'm doing later today.
You know even what you're doing after the show?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be outside with Tom.
That's right.
You know, Ray, you got to plan on these things, man. You know, you basically what you do is you, first of all, when you sign up for this event, you get the hotel.
Right. Man,
that's
why you do it.
Probably about 6 months before you register for the event. The main thing is the hotel. They have several hotels there, but I decided with the new camper that I got a new Starcraft that we're going to go down there.
Yeah, you were mentioning it to me. That thing sounds pretty impressive.
Is that a pop-up type camper?
Yes, it is.
What will you be pulling that with?
I'm pulling it with the Expedition.
So you go into a Pontiac show with a Ford?
Yeah, but the wife is driving the Pontiac.
Oh, so you're in separate cars. That's why it'll be a quiet trip.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I hope we don't get lost. It'll be a good trip.
Will she be following you, or you'll be following her?
It's a good question. Okay. Really, I have a better sense of direction, so she should be following me.
Whoever has the GPS, right?
Well, we both have the GPS, but you know, it's only about like 3 or 4 hours away, so it's not that bad. You know, we're not traveling 25 hours. You know.
Oh wow.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought Gettysburg was a little farther.
You know, our good friend Jeep and Al had told me that campground is haunted.
Is it?
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, being in Gettysburg, I mean, it's highly likely.
They
right?
never met the big man.
That's right.
I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, they didn't know who was rolling in on them. Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, boy. But no, you know, there's a lot of things to do. I think one of the nicer things to do is the Eisenhower Farm. It's been there forever. You're looking at the quaint time classic. You're looking at probably it was 1780s built, 1800s.
All right. You know what, Howie? People can they can go and investigate this on the internet. Tell us something about cars, because this is we want to talk about cars today.
I could tell you about the wheels, the camper. It's a Starmaster XL.
You know what? Before you go, make sure you service those wheel bearings. Nobody ever services the wheel bearings on their trailers, and it's a fatal flaw.
I bought it from Joe and Bonnie, and Joe is a retired engineer, and he did all new wheel bearings, new tires, new brakes, new propane tanks, new battery. This guy was really quite an engineer. He moved the spare tire to the back using a plumber's pipe and put an extension on the battery to be able to do the service the battery or charge it. He had to remove the propane tanks. He has an extension on that. It's well thought out. It has air conditioning. It has heat, hot water. Has a bathroom. Yeah, has a shower.
Engineers are the best.
You know, and it's only weighs about 1,800 pounds.
Very good. All right. Well, you have we'll talk to you before July, but until then,
yeah, you better call.
Yeah. All right,
we
gotta take a break, Howie. So we're gonna let you go, and you keep us in touch on that trip because we want to know more about it.
Yeah,
I will. I'll keep in touch with you guys. I'll give you a call. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Howie.
Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate it.
Goodbye. All right, that was the big man talking about his July vacation. You know, he should listen to the show on the station, Joe, Tuesdays at 3. It's called Your Family's Health. Professor Janine Cook Garrard, I think she says like the turntable, from the NCC Nursing Department. She discusses health issues concerning all of us, and that may be a good thing to know if you're going camping with your wife.
Yeah, for sure. You got to make sure that your health is okay, because otherwise it's a long way back to them battlefield hospitals.
You got that right. And until then, we're going to take a break. I need you to, call your sister, see if she can help us out with this, because get the cowbell ready.
I'll get it going.
Because we're going to do another little track like this, another fun bit, and we'll be back with more of this just in about a minute on 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show, now at a brand new time, live, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
All right, you're back with Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Joe's playing that slide bass over there. He's up and down the fretboard like I've never seen. It's really pretty cool. And you're playing a cowbell.
Yeah, well, you don't want to know
what the hell
that
you hitting it with.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joe.
The left one.
Hey, it sounds good, so that's all right by me. Give us a call, 516-572-7440. Be like Howie and tell us about
your camping
trip.
What's happened. Let us know your plans. Are you going to go to any battlefields lately? You know?
Or just a family event. You never know, right?
Yeah. As long as you go in a car.
Yeah,
or
right.
Or something with wheels.
Yeah.
Maybe something just with maybe a motor. You know, some just whatever. You just got to call in and let us know, because we're talking to ourselves, which is all well and good. But we want to hear what you guys are up to. You know what I mean? So by all means, there's got to be something happening out there. In the meantime, though, did they break that?
Well, no,
we just had the wrecking crew in here.
Yeah, Rob and Kim just pulled out.
Yes, they were wielding tools. That's all, you know, when you start seeing actual professional radio people wielding tools, does not bode well. Wait a minute. There's a professional auto guy here sitting in front of a microphone. Okay, maybe it balances out. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, they just pulled out CD2 because it was there's a CD stuck in a player, so they have to. But they didn't take it out to the other studio. They're going to do the autopsy outside.
Right.
And that's okay. We'll.
I did see something. They flashed the sign. Can we borrow a crowbar? But not just yet. And chisel. Yeah, that works even better.
We can get it apart. We can also respond to the flashy thing and go back and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, it's Al Handy. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's going on? Al, what's happening?
Not much.
It's
not
the
much.
Jeeper.
I need a recommendation. Soon I'm going to be pulling the radiator and the water pump out of the Dakota.
Right.
And I'm going to replace it with a Flo-Cool water pump.
Nice. Okay.
High volume.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 3-core radiator, custom-made aluminum radiator.
Okay.
Flushing the system. Would
right.
you recommend that, putting that, whatever it is,
Thermacool
or something in there, the soap, to let it circulate for a while?
Yeah. A lot of that stuff is like oxalic acid or some type of acid.
How bad is it? How bad is it?
Well, it's not. It's just, you know me. I'm anal.
I know.
So I like to clean it out before I put new stuff in.
Use that
colonic.
Flushing. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just to back up a little, Al, I want to mention that I happen to have a flow cooler water pump in my own car. And the thing that hooked me was I did it because I'm at such a lower RPM with the 5-speed conversion I did on the highway. I was afraid I wasn't flowing enough water.
Mm.
They claim that pump flows more water at idle than a stock pump does at 3,000 RPM.
Mean, yeah, right.
Exactly.
And that's why I bought it, and I love it. It's a great piece, but...
You can also use it to put out fires. You take up a hose off and aim it.
Yeah. Right. I would say, yeah. You know,
for a few minutes at least.
I mean, it's a good idea to do a flush when you have the system apart. I mean, that's... The other thing that I was thinking that I should have done with my car and I didn't was to use Evans coolant instead of a regular ethylene glycol.
Water
is an additive. Evans is its own entity,
mm-hmm.
and you need to have a totally clean system. I don't know You know, Bill Carberry talked about it when he was in the studio from Kappa Radiator, and he has it in his Galaxy. The time to do it was when my system was brand new, and I didn't.
Right.
They do say you can flush, and I don't know what the... Have you looked into the procedure of what they recommend, Al?
They have an intermediate fluid that goes in between.
Okay.
Before, you know, you wind up flushing out your system, put the intermediate coolant in, I believe... And then take that out, and then put the new stuff in.
Well,
and that's supposed to neutralize any of the existing or leftover coolant that's in the system.
I think I would probably be prone to doing something like that myself.
When I was having that problem with the heater core in the Cavalier, I ended up using, I had an old timer advise me to use vinegar.
Okay,
50-50 vinegar.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and believe it or not, you poured it in there, you made like the mixture up, you sent it through, let it sit there about a half hour, whatever. The schming that came out of it, actually, it was more like gook.
It's an acidic property to the vinegar. It's got to smell
right.
Terrible, though. If the garage has, because hot vinegar can't, it doesn't smell good.
Well, I did it cold.
It smells like salad.
Oh.
Yeah. I did it cold. And besides that, I definitely wanted a salad.
No, wait, what do you mean you did it cold? You just poured it in and let it sit?
Well, what I did was I did specifically the heater core to start because I wanted to see if my diagnosis was correct because, you know what I mean.
Okay. Yes.
So I took the heater hoses off. I poured it in the heater hose. All right. In other words, I blew out whatever coolant I can get out of there, poured the mixture in there, let it sit. And then, like, put a pressurized hose on there. And then I had clear hoses coming out of the core. So I could actually see the schmutz, the schming, the whatever coming out until it went clear. And believe it or not, that definitely solved my overheating problem in that one particular case.
Okay.
That's interesting. Maybe I should try that before.
Yeah, because it's pretty benign. And it's organic, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now, the other thing I was going to say is that OTC... and Gates make different versions of they call it a power flush. I'm going off the top of my head because I haven't thought about it for a while. It's not cheap. What it does is that you hook it up to air in the water supply, like a garden hose, let's call it.
Right.
And what it does is it sends a pulsating stream through the system. And Gates, actually, if you go on their website, you can see it. Where, like, they just flushed out a cooling system with it, and, you know, they sent the resulting drain out through it, like a coffee filter or a sock or something. Some interesting, and the amount of crap that comes out because you physically knock it loose was incredible. Because I don't think, knowing you probably don't have a lot of, like, sedimentation because you neglected the crap out of the thing.
Right, exactly. But, you know, who knows what the previous owner did.
That's true, too.
Receipts, but... I got to look to see if there was ever a radiator flush.
You know,
or
back
a change
in the
of fluid.
Back in the day, Al, when we drove the older cars as our regular cars, every year, well, I would always change my thermostat for the summer and for the winter. And what
right.
I did,
yeah.
I would flush the system with the hose and then always back flush it. And the theory is when you
back
flush.
Back flush is good.
Well, when you flush it, a lot of that particulate can kind of like flow in the direction of the water and still hang on. But when you back flush it, now that has to break, go the other way. And that's
right.
when it'll break off and come out.
Right.
That's interesting.
So that's something else to think of.
Because not only is it the chemical stuff, but there's also a certain amount of particulates that come out.
Yeah.
And that stuff is like, you know, grist for the mill in the moving parts, such as the water pump. So you want to get that out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in like our area out here where I live, there's a lot of lime in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you get a guy that doesn't know any better, he'll use his garden hose to fill up the radiator. And all of a sudden you got this lime.
Should be using tequila.
Right, with the lime. Now we should mention that, and as I'm sure you know, Al, the when you want to fill, you always want to use distilled water with the coolant.
Right.
Same thing with the battery. You know, if you can add to a battery, if you have a battery, you can add to distilled water. I even use it for my dishwasher fluid for my turntables to clean my records. I use distilled water and alcohol. So, distilled water is the way to go.
It's interesting. I was always an opponent of the 50-50 mixture antifreeze because you're paying a lot of money for water.
Right.
But, you know, those guys are doing it right. They're using the proper water.
Right.
The mixture is correct, you know, so lately I've been buying the bottles with 50-50 mixture in it.
Well, it's a lot more convenient, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I keep the 50-50 around for quick maintenance type of things.
Right.
However, if I'm doing If I'm doing something, I also keep the straight stuff too around, because sometimes if you don't know what the other, you maybe want to make it a little stronger or whatever. Yeah, like somebody just dumped the water in there.
Yeah, whenever I do that, I'm like, okay, here we go. I got 2 gallons of straight antifreeze, and I have my couple gallons of distilled water. But now you need another empty bottle.
Right.
To make that first 50-50 mix. Once you do the first one, you're... So I always keep old antifreeze jugs around.
Yeah.
Right.
For that reason. Or you could just pour half of it in the radiator and then put half of the distilled water.
Right,
yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Simple,
what's the difference?
Simple method. Also, what you could do is you could take your air hose, your blowgun, tape up the antifreeze container really well,
mm-hmm.
and hit the air, and it makes this really good bang.
Oh boy!
Which, you know, some guys at the shop, I don't know.
I mean, that's like the coffee cup half off the table. You fill it with acetylene and then light the match.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's shop humor. It never gets old. You know, especially when next thing you know, your head goes through the hood, or all of a sudden there's a dark spot in your pants. You know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So Al, I got to mention to people, they should follow you on Twitter. You should give us your handle, because you had a picture this week of your Dakota, which is actually won show awards. You know, because you've done a really nice job of that truck as a dual purpose vehicle, and now you had it loaded with, like, I don't know, 1,500 pounds of stuff to go to the dump. So applause for that.
Scrap metal. Long story, but my buddy, offered me this really nice compressor.
Right.
He showed me a picture of it. I go over it.
Yeah.
And it was a commercial compressor, 233 phase. 2 jugs on it, and probably about a 100-gallon tank.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't lift it with my little backhoe.
Right.
Whoa.
So I put it in the garage, and it's about the size of my neon.
That was out of an airport or something, right?
Right, it was out of an airport, yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do with this thing? And, of course, half the control panel was missing, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I got this thing. If I ever plugged it in and it never shut off, I'd be missing the garage and half the house.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'm going to scrap it. And all total is 1,550 pounds of steel in the back, plus the 700 pounds of the slide-in dump body I have.
Oh, man.
So it was, close to 2,000 pounds sitting in the back of the truck.
That truck does work.
Yeah working at the code.
It does a lot of work.
That's great. No, that's fantastic.
That's one reason I put the Dana 60 in. I couldn't trust the C-Clip 9 1/4.
Right.
I put a load on that, and the axles would be walking out on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that thing, that rear is no slouch in its own right. However, you're taking it to the next, next 2 levels.
Yeah, he kicked it up a couple notches, mm-hmm. right? He did an emerald to it.
Right. Everybody keeps telling me to buy a new truck, 3/4 ton or 1 ton truck, and I'm like, well, the only thing I could really afford is a used one. With a decoder, I know exactly what I have.
Right. Right.
And I know how it works. So,
as our former co-host used to say, the cheapest vehicle you have is the one you own.
Yeah. Own, right, exactly.
Actually, it's the cheapest vehicle to buy is the one you already own.
Right.
That's how that goes. Right.
Unless
it's very
true. To my wife, and then I'm spending too much money on it.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah, we've talked about that on the show a lot. We've had a lot of people call ruminating about wanting to buy a new vehicle but not wanting to spend the money. And then you usually get to the bottom of it and say, hey, you don't
want to hang on to it.
Well, like sometimes you can tell, like, you want a new vehicle, don't you? Yeah, but they're on the fence. Like, you know what? If you know that's what you want, you're not going to be happy unless you do anything else. So do it.
Right, right.
But we tend to keep our stuff around forever. We're always rebuilding and we keep our stuff around. That's what we do.
Yeah, thank God my wife has that attitude.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just can't see spending 40 or 50 grand on a new pickup truck.
Isn't it crazy? Right. Like a pickup truck.
Yeah.
A farm implement.
Right.
Well, back in 73, I went to look at a new Chevy.
Right.
And that was cheaper. What the hell was that at that time? With the small Chevy, maybe the Nova.
Right.
I forget, or the Vega. No, not the Vega, not yet. Oh, maybe the Vega.
Okay.
The pickup truck was cheaper than the Vega.
Right.
Even though
it was way more metal.
$600.
Well, that would have been what, a Love?
No, it was a full size.
A real truck.
Oh, full size, truck.
The rough truck? No.
Yeah, 1,500 or whatever they called it back then. 15.
Yeah, half ton, yeah.
Right.
Sierra.
Half ton, straight six. Yeah, well, Sierra would be the GMC version.
Right.
Yeah.
But because well, for one thing, I guess there was they were simple back then. You got in it, you got a door, you shut it. There was a window crank,
right?
You know what I mean? Maybe a radio. You know, there was that little fireplace instead of the heater option. You know, but whatever. Air conditioning, forget it. That was just open the windows and go 50.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You don't need that. You're working.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be in the truck anyway. You should be out there loading it.
Yep.
So cut the crap, yeah.
Yeah, I worked with a guy like that, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's face it, those were when they really were work trucks.
Yeah.
All right, Al, we continue to keep us up on that
sure.
platform. And, I just see you all the time on here. What is, how can people find you on Twitter? Because they may want to see the stuff that you do.
Yeah, let them get Twitter pated.
Right, it's just it's Al Handy. Just search for Al Handy, and then it's Jeepin' by Al.
There you go. Very good.
Cool.
Al,
actually.
Right, because yeah. You do put up some cool stuff. Excellent. And all right, well, we thank you for the call, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for the advice, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It.
Okay,
take care. Good to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Till
long.
Bye-bye. Yeah, he'll love that flow cooler. It does work. It works wonders. It's a good thing. And yeah,
especially the way he works that thing like a horse there. Jeez.
I know.
God bless him.
These guys have the power going on here, but I think there was a little bit of a there might have been a little bit of a power failure going on. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's we'll see if we can kick that up and get the CD player going.
Yeah. I go grab the fire extinguisher, you grab the mop.
All right, you're on. Keep it what you got, we'll be right back. 90.3 WHPC.
We hope.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatles cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs the Beatles either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatles news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC. Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Is Rob on the timpani?
Yeah.
He's doing a good job, too.
He's a fine percussionist.
He's trying. Anyway, back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Rob and Kim are busy in the studio putting things together, taking things apart.
Yeah, look, they're the ones who are wrenching right about now.
That's right.
Isn't
that's
that kind of strange?
A little bit of a switch for us. But
you never see me use a screwdriver. I know you're nervous.
I haven't. Luckily, it's a small one, so I'm glad when you use small tools.
I'm very relieved you have protective eyewear on.
Yes.
It's a Phillips head, too.
It is a Phillips head.
Oh, God. They let you have that? They don't let me have those kind of pointing sharp objects where I come from.
And Kim,
wow, look at that.
It's a stuck CD.
High
they
five.
Have fixed it.
Yeah, I love it.
Until next time.
Yes, until something else goes. And so,
our job
until,
is done here.
Yes. Right. On to the next one. Hi-yo, Silva. Who are those mess DJs?
In a way.
Yahoo.
Oh, boy.
You
all
know,
right.
I was thinking about, you know, when we were just talking about, you know, trucks being simpler and a simpler time and how a
simple system.
Yes. Simple mind.
Right. Simple minds, yeah.
I was thinking about, you know, I was looking at this study, which was kind of a reply or a kind of a counterpoint to that one we've talked about how millennials actually still enjoy driving.
Yes.
And that they did that study. And now this is kind of a counterpoint to this, which I found I actually found them online someplace. It actually came out of
they say, Jane, you ignorant slut. Going back to the original SNL days.
There you go. Actually, they said, Joe, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, well.
They're a little late for that one.
Yeah.
And this one here actually comes from a research company called Arity, which was an offshoot of the good old Allstate Insurance Company.
Right.
And, you know, they're always doing studies and actuariating and all that other kind of stuff. But what they found is that people spend an average of 321 hours in their car each year versus the average 120 hours of a vacation.
Minkum.
Holy crap! I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And And why that goes to Simple Times is going to come up in just a second. But 59% of millennials, I'm kind of skipping through stuff here, 59% of millennials say they'd rather spend time doing something more productive than driving. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What's more productive than driving?
Well, yeah, but I think...
only 45% of us baby boomers.
I think that would have to be prefaced by what kind of driving. Now, if you're talking about commuting to work, then I'd say, yeah, I'd rather be doing anything else besides doing
that,
too.
Oh, yeah, you and me both. I mean, I'm subjecting myself to that all the time. But when we grew up driving in simpler times of that, like, 73 pickup, it was fun. I mean, I used to go to work. I used to live in Whitestone. I worked in Douglaston. Jumped on the Cross Island. 5 minutes, well, depending on my mood, maybe 3 minutes, and you know how the tachometer went.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time.
Yeah,
couldn't wait to drive.
And then you know, like we would just go out at night, and you remember you
just drive,
you'd cruise, you pick up your friend, you'd be at the burger joint, and we used to do something where I grew up. We did these Chinese fire drills where you know I had one buddy had a at the time he had a motorcycle.
Asian
I had
American
my car.
Fire drills. Be polite.
All right, and we would like you know see each other on the street. We'd stop, and then we'd switch. I'd get on his bike and take off. He'd get on my car. And be like 11 o'clock. Meet you at the bar. You know we knew what bar because that's where we hung out.
Yeah,
and we just drive the other guys.
No GPS. No status update. None of that crap.
No.
Yep.
Let's take a status update on the phones. We'll go here and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon, Motor Mouths. It's Tom from Massapequa.
Hi, Tom. What's happening, man?
Hey, it's a beautiful day out here in Garden City. I'm glad I'm listening to your program this afternoon.
Oh, very good.
Cool.
I got a couple of points I'd like to add to some topics. One of the things is, you know, when you're thinking about buying a new car versus repairing your old car, one of the things that helps me make a decision, and I'm a little frugal, is think about just the tax you pay. If you buy a $35,000 car, that may cost you, you know, $3,000 in taxes. How many repairs could you make just with the tax money?
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, I mean, a new car, you know, you ain't fixing it, but you should have painted it another way.
Yeah, I mean, if you needed a transmission, it's going to be $3,000 or more, you know, so...
Seriously.
It all depends what it is. I mean, I've heard of people spending, you know, $1,000-plus on brake work.
Yeah.
It all depends
stuff
what it is.
Stuff is more expensive to fix. I used to say to people all the time back in the day, you're either going to pay the loan company or the leasing company, or you're going to pay the mechanic. You know, it depends. But it actually works out, if on an older car, it actually works out to be almost the same.
Most of the financial analysts that I've read and seen will say to take about and Chris used to say this too, take about $1,000 a year, save it, you know, on the side for your car repair fund. And you may not use it 1 year or the second year, but then you need a set of tires, you could pull it out of there. And then when you have that big repair, you may have a couple grand saved up and you can just dip in there and use the money. I mean, whatever works for you.
Or you can buy explosives and entertain yourself that way.
Right.
Then you'll need a new car.
Well, like Chris, just sell it and buy another one. So, yeah.
Flip it.
Yeah, I don't know, Tom. We're not the best financially set up planners on this show. So.
Yeah, not only that, but we hang on to our cars until they just turn into piles of cornflakes.
And then we fix them again.
Right.
Then and the other thing I wanted to share, I'm just finishing a book. It's about my memories of a family road trip. And it talks about a young man, and it's a true story, about how he took many, many unique family road trips before airfare was cheap. And he tells some very interesting stories your listeners may enjoy.
Who's the author, Tom?
I don't. I'll text it to you or email it to you.
Okay.
I can't think of it offhand, but I'm really finding it interesting, and I'm getting at the very end of the book, and the kids, like now he's like 17, and his family just started taking airplane trips and not car trips, and he's saying it changed the whole dynamic dramatically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to look at that 57 T-Bird from the air instead of from behind now as you're above it. Yeah. Tom, are you do you play on Twitter at all or Instagram?
Yeah, I do Instagram a little bit. Go ahead.
What you should do then is, you know, you could follow us because we're Motor Mouth Radio on Instagram. But put a picture of the book up on there and hashtag it with MMR Cars. That's what our social media guy is asking us to do.
Yeah, I'd like to participate if I can and help promote this stuff.
Yeah, and anybody else who's listening, you know, if you want to put a picture of your car up, past or present, hashtag it MMR Cars, and we'll see if we can get something going here.
Oh, that's cool.
It's all the right. Power of the interweb.
I've been in my drives today. I see this cool old black Chevy souped up thing on the road, though, you know, like a sleeper. I love those. My son started his driving career with a police, a 96 police Caprice.
Nice.
They're so cool.
Yes, yes. Good cars. We love them.
Yeah, it was the basis for the Impala SS back in those days.
All right,
yeah.
Well, listen, guys, I'll see you soon.
All right, Tom, we'll see you real soon.
Yeah, that's right. Come, you're going to come visit us.
All right, thanks, Tom.
All right, bye-bye.
So long. All righty, that's our buddy Tom from Massapequa weighing in. And he's right. You know, I've read a few pieces in magazines recently about people's road trips. One guy, I think it was in maybe my Hemmings magazine, not Hemmings, it might have been in a Haggerty magazine.
Mm.
He's 40-something years old, has two sons. They're both younger, but he took his 67 Chevelle wagon. That he kept, it's a big block Chevy, and he put a 5-speed in it.
Nice.
And he took them. He actually he did a reverse road trip. I think the car was out west. For some reason, he flew out with them and drove back.
Ah, okay.
And they talked all about the road trip experience and how his sons in the beginning were kind of edgy. They weren't having fun. And after a while, they really got into it.
It's like one of the movies from like the 80s.
Pretty much. So let's go back to the 80s phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Gentlemen.
Hey.
Yes, Bob, what's up?
What's going on?
I had some information for Tom from Garden City today.
Speak.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I ran a 2001 and a 2003 Escalade for him.
Right.
And I found that Modular Masters probably has his product because they do the rebuilds.
Right.
And he happens to have a traction control, and the model that came up for him was a 325 ABS rebuild.
And yeah, that should be a 325.
Traction control and his two lights.
Hey, Bob, you want to hear something pretty cool? I'll drop something on you right now.
Yes, please.
Where Joe is going to be diagnosing that vehicle in the parking lot after the show.
Yeah, seriously.
So if you want to jump in your chariot and power over here with a six-pack and a donut, you can actually be part of it. You can photograph the whole thing for us.
Oh, man, I can't believe that happened. That's great.
Well, we're going to be doing that in about 15 minutes.
Because we were getting frustrated. It smells like the traction control's kicking in.
I want to thank you for the invite. Maybe I will take a run over there.
Yeah, this ought to be funny.
We'll
be here. Yeah, I wrote it down. Maybe, yeah, I think I can do that.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Hey, guys, nice speaking with you always.
You too.
Always a pleasure,
to you, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So long. You know, maybe we got a thing going here, Joe. I don't know. It's...
You know, of course it would have to happen in the chilly weather. You know,
yeah, right.
We know we could have set up a tent. You know, people bring donuts. They can hang out.
We've done that out here.
Yeah, I know.
We've done that a couple times out here.
Who knows? If we actually get some kind of recording equipment, we could actually start doing a series draw. Parking lot diagnostics.
Right. Yeah. I did find out, too, if you want to use that hashtag MMRCars, use it on any platform, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We play on all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Hash, not spam.
Yeah, no, I like
that. That other meat product, you know. But.
Yeah, stay away from that. And then you can still get in on this
516-572-7440.
Thank you, Joe.
No problem.
Yeah,
in harmony, too. All 9 yards and the whole thing. Yeah,
we kind of try. I was talking on Thursday night in a plane in traffic show with the boys, and we did our after show, which is usually the music show. We always go to music. And Chassis John Guerrero, he was from up here, he was a chassis builder. He's another drummer.
Oh, that's why they call him Chassis John, as opposed to Carburetor John.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Duh. But we were talking about that, and I said to him, you know, I made a comment. They said, yeah, and always be kind to your bass player, I said, because that's the guy you got to be in simpatico with. He goes, oh, boy, don't I know it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We're not a dime a dozen.
No.
You want to, I mean, back, okay, quick thing. Back in the day when I was trying, in high school and stuff, I looked around and, like, tons of guitar players in school,
mm-hmm.
tons of drummers,
mm-hmm.
couple of singers, you know, no bass players.
And the singers were always sketchy because guys said they were singers.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so you put a mic in front of them.
That's a whole nother story. But
I've had my experiences with that, too.
There was never bass players around.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you wanted to get into a band, then, like, you know, it's like...
Find the kid who could play piano.
Right.
Because you got a guy who can play piano, he can usually sling a bass.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah,
you got to go from this to this.
They tend to be. That was a great set of hand gestures, by the way.
Yeah, you got to go from, well, it was from horizontal to vertical.
Right, but, yeah. No, I mean,
then there's string bass.
Yes.
Right?
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's a visual, you know, we got to get a phone. what do you call it? One of them picture making machines in here. Yeah, well, I mean.
Well, we got a hammer and chisel.
Yeah. You don't.
The Flintstones. That will carve a picture.
Yeah. You know, that little noise it made, you know, that would have been annoying as hell. They would it would drove the people on the soundboard.
We'll use a dead blow hammer on the chisel, maybe.
Oh, air chisel.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. You know what? Oh, God, that was scary. We're going to take our last break. Joe, I see you've already suited up in your armor. You're ready for this diagnostic. I don't know how you're going to walk around that stuff, but...
Yeah, I am, man.
Well, more than that, I think we're going to go back to an even further time for you with this one. Here on Motor Mouth Radio, keep it where you got it. We'll be back in a minute while Joe actually puts the last piece of his suit on 90.3 WHPC.
Stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion. Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This program is brought to you by NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, who presents the original Harlem Globetrotters on December 28th. More information can be found online at nycblive.com.
There's Joe in his Spanish armor.
Yeah. Well, Ken,
we got the battle song ready because we figured that the Spaniards did wear that conquistador armor, but I like we have the horns.
Yeah.
They accompany you very well.
It's that whole mariachi thing going there,
you know? Very cool. I like that.
Yeah, by the way, whoever's flashing this before the commercial, call back because we're off the commercial now.
We can do some more of that stuff and play. Yeah, we got a last segment. We're going to, actually, like you said, we're going to go out and you're going to play with Tom's.
Yeah, I'm going to plug a scanful into it. See what's going on.
What you've affectionately termed driver's seat diagnostics.
I forgot the diagnostic dice and the Ouija board, so I actually have to eyeball this thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's okay, but it's all about critical thinking and processing the information.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the right tool for the job. In this particular case, we're going to use the GM Tech 2 factory scan tool.
Right.
Now, depending on how subtle, I mean, I have my ideas what this is probably going to be.
You do?
You know what I mean? Which I'm not going to spoil it because next week we'll talk about it for a second or two.
Right.
But, basically, I mean, there are times that some of this stuff is very subtle, and what I'll do is I'll make a recording of it, and you could upload that to a PC with the proper program, and you could review it, sit there with a cup of coffee, and go, oh, there it is, which you may not be able to do without rear-ending somebody while you're driving.
Yes.
So as far as that goes, we'll see how subtle or not it is.
Yeah, hopefully it'll work out, and we'll see. But until then, we'll push this button, go to the phones, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon?
We're still standing.
What's going on, Joe? Joe the Undertaker.
Yeah, you're talking about bringing cars up as we get a laugh out of mine.
Okay.
It's still running or whatever, but
cool. I thought last talk you were driving a scooter.
Well, that too. I'm trying to save money and running around with the scooter for gas.
Hmm.
So
understood.
Anyhow, back to my main question. You were talking about scan tools and everything. There's one thing that I was wondering about. With hooking the car up to the computer, would it be able to tell the actual run hours on a vehicle, not just the mileage?
Well, most car companies have the mileage stored someplace, if not the engine computer, the body computer. You know,
on my wife's cruise, I can access everything from the left side stalk.
Right.
And one of the things it'll show me is...
runtime?
How many gallons of gas have been used in that car?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Since it was... So that's...
It's kind of like the total talk time on an iPhone or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that data is in there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it also depends on whether the car company makes it, deems it relevant to diagnosing the car, too. But it could be in there someplace.
The reason why I'm asking is that the car I'm running now, it's a 98 Tracer, but it was a fleet car. So I don't know how much time was sitting around idling and how much was actual driving.
98 Tracer, that's actually a Mazda offshoot, is it not?
How many miles on the car, Joe?
It's low mileage. I don't have it right offhand and everything, but it's, low mileage.
Yeah,
but as I said, I didn't know whether or not it would be, high runtime because the guy would be sitting there idling or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's like, do you ever see those private security firms that go around different neighborhoods?
ADT or whatnot?
Yeah, with like some small SUV and the thing just sits there, it goes up and down the block, at like 10 miles an hour. Right, yeah, exactly. And, that thing's probably racking up as much runtime as somebody who makes a 100-mile trip a day, easily, if not more. But actual runtime, that car there, because of its, it's either a Ford or a Mazda. That's when those two were in, big-time cahoots. Their amount of scan data that they made available was not exactly as plentiful as other ones, They gave you the bare minimums, especially Mazda. It's like, something wrong.
Yeah, we know about that from diagnosing my own car, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. They are notoriously closed-mouth, So, it's the kind of thing, you plug it in, you got to use something, again, that would have to be, like, professional level, like, say, a Snap-on Solus or one of the upscale Autels or OTCs. I don't want to leave any scan tool companies out, but, just about every scan tool company has a shop-level tool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then if you know somebody with a, probably that would be a Ford, an NGS, New Generation Star. It looks like a T. All right. That's the factory-level tool for Ford and Mazda in those years. All right, that would give you more because that's dealer level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would I bet the farm that it would be on there? Not really.
Joe, is there some reason that you have that concern, or is it just for your own edification? Big word there, Joe.
It's just waiting for Murphy's Law type routine, and just want to have the knowledge.
Mr. Murphy will show up with donuts and coffee whether you want him to or not.
Well, we would hope
so. Oh, yeah, he always follows me, and then I get stuck with the bill for the donuts and coffee.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, but, the other way of looking at it, too, though, is, that's like highway miles, like 100,000 highway miles versus 100,000 New York City miles.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, runtime is definitely in there, but... pretty much at that point, a car that's like 98? It's like 20 years old, all right?
Yep.
If it was going to die, if it was neglected and it was going to die, it probably would have done it already. So it's probably in some fairly decent shape, depending on what your expectations
are.
Yeah,
and you could look and see if at the end, when you do an oil change, you can tell if the inside is kind of varnishy or if they've been changing the oil. You can get that idea. Well, this all just goes to play into the whole prospect of...
What does Joe know?
I don't know nothing.
Boy, that's an oldie.
Yeah, I would say, in a case like that, I would just kind of look around because, I drive a 98 car every day. I drive a Cavalier every day. I have parked right next to it is a 92 Camry with 200,000 miles. The Cavalier's got just about to hit 100,000. But what happens is you stay on top of them. But it's 20 years old. Something's going to let go. Mr. Murphy is going to come and visit. And as long as, you don't see anything obvious, he's seen, smell, hear, you got to use all your senses. And if nothing's coming up to stalk you, It's like, don't kick the sleeping dog. Just stay up with it and just have the cell phone charged up in case you need to call the tow truck.
You know, as we
That also goes back to what you were talking about, buying a new car as opposed to just repairing the other one.
Right.
It's the devil you know.
Right.
There you go. That's it.
You know, Joe, I wanted to just close the loop on something else. Huh, that's kind of a cute little thing. When you called a few weeks ago to talk about the motorcycle,
you want to take that oxygen sensor out of there, please.
No, why it doesn't trip the red light sensor at an intersection?
Right.
Our good friend and caller Rob had called us just at the end of the wire. He didn't get to elaborate, but what he had said was, it's a loop sensor that's in those grids.
It's a MAD, magnetic anomaly detection or something.
Okay, and it's usually set in an oblong fashion to get the most amount of where a car would be.
Right.
Which is not always where a motorcycle
would
be.
So the hell with you and your bike.
Yeah, so the thing is, so that would be, in that theory, would be sit more into the center of the lane as opposed to the outside of the fringes, because it's an oval pattern. So I just wanted to pass that along, because Rob did share that, and it was good information.
Right, yeah, that's good to know.
I heard that right after the call, you know, just at the end of the show. I gave it a try, but it didn't seem to work on the one
I
have problems with. So.
You know, I have a full-size touring bike, and I've had a lot of trouble with certain lights, too, so it may not be that it's necessarily your scooter. It may just be that that's the nature of that intersection.
Yeah.
So. All right, Joe. Well, thanks for the call, and you know, keep us on speed dial.
We'll we'll cross our fingers for you. But I think you'll be all right with that thing.
All right, Joe.
All right, bye.
All right, so long. Oh, that's cool. You know, people are keeping all sorts of older vehicles.
That's another discussion we got, because just forget you. I'll preliminate it. Preliminate. just for giggles, at the shop, we had a car with a late model car with a busted headlight. And
oh, yeah.
They needed the smelling salts and the paddles.
This just happened. Yeah, this just happened recently. We just saw something.
Mm.
Al had sent me a picture. Al sent me some pictures of
Jeep
a compass,
there.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Because we were going by. Right. So, yeah, we
just
started with you.
Yeah, just for giggles, too, I priced out a headlight on my wife's Nissan. That was like $1,700 or something.
That's right. It was you who started. I knew somebody I knew.
Right. Yeah, no. Al started with the whole repair procedure, but basically it's like somebody rolls a shopping cart into that thing.
Yeah.
Forget it.
You know, it's kind of scary to think that just to do something like a headlight change.
Right.
You know, could cost you like 3 pounds of flesh, a pint of blood.
A college education.
And like, you know, 4 shop hours. You know, it's like...
Sure.
It's scary.
Step one, remove bumper.
Well, right. And that was the thing. Like, hey, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. With all the stuff I do mechanically, the one thing I've never learned how to do correctly is how to remove those bumper covers. And I've even said to Mike at the shop, I said, you know, you got to show me how to do this one day. I got to learn how to do this.
You're taking a sozzle. You're taking a sozzle and you push it in.
I could do that.
And then you're taking the glue and then you pull it back. It's okay.
You know that chrome bumper with the 3/4-inch bolts? I know how to take those. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Get the half-inch impact. But, you know, I'm not a body guy, so I don't do that kind of work. And luckily, I haven't had to. I have taken headlight assemblies out, but they usually...
Wouldn't you say that, son?
Oh, I do. Well, that's why, you know, I say I don't... You know, you never have to know everything. You just have to know people...
Somebody out there changing the headlight right now.
Yeah, I see that. You have to know people who do know, and that's why I have friends who are in the body shop business.
Yeah.
Now, we let them take care of that stuff for me.
Yeah, body guys, training guys, you got to have somebody like that on your list, because some point you're going to need them, so you don't want to walk in there unknown.
Absolutely. Well, we're about into the unknown here. We're going to be wrapping up in about a half a minute.
Oh, come on. We know it's Kimmy.
You're going to clang. Yeah, stay tuned, of course. Well, people do stay tuned. People, I think, listen to us just so they can get to Kim.
I have had a lot of people say,
she's
you
saying,
know that,
yeah, she knows.
That girl with the show after you with the Bruce, they like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
well, thank you, guys.
Nice. But yeah, we're going to go out in the parking lot and play with Tom's car, and maybe we'll see Bob. Maybe we'll see Bob come down. And
you never know.
Yeah, well,
if there's a mushroom cloud from Garden City, you know what happened.
So follow us on social media. Don't forget to like us. We may like you back. You never know. Well, follow us. We may follow you back.
Please just don't hate us.
And until then, till next week, for Joe D, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, signing out.
Bye. Done.